Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you turn in your scripture to Hebrews chapter 10? We've been in the gift series, but I'm going to lay that aside for just a little bit. I want to have a different focus until I get some things prepared to bring everything to a conclusion and ahead in the gift series. But I have a message tonight I want to share from front to back. And, you know, sometimes I'm aware we have this treasure in earthen vessels, but God wants to speak through His Word specifically to folks tonight in this service. And He's chosen to do that through a human vessel presenting His Word. And we're going to believe the Lord to speak to our hearts this evening. And we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 10. If you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, I'm just going to read two verses. I'm not going to exposit these. In fact, I'm reading these mainly, yes, for the thought of them, but for a word that appears in both of these, and that word is the word back, the word back. Listen to what he says in verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man, any person, if any person draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now, I'm going to read that again before we move on, but let's say just for a moment this pulpit is God tonight and I'm a believer. Every believer is either doing this in relationship to God or they're doing this. Okay? The trouble with just staying right here, you can't ever really do that. Okay? So tonight, every person is either in relation to God or this. But the writer said, if any person draw back my soul, this is God speaking, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Look at verse 39. This is the camp to be in. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I want to be in that camp that doesn't draw back. I want to give you my title tonight. I want to preach on the axe that will take you back. I was preparing on the airplane, and my wife looked over at my iPad, and she said, you misspelled something. And I sent it to Brother Mike, and for a little bit, he was, he thought I misspelled something too. How many of you thought I misspelled something? Okay. I want to talk to you tonight about the axe that will take you back. Father, challenge our hearts tonight by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your people that have gathered to hear your word and worship you. I pray for the Holy Spirit to move all through this sanctuary. Holy Spirit, move upon our hearts and our minds. Move upon me, Lord, to share your word. And Lord, may we leave here having had the hand of God touch us in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Let me give you three scenarios. First of all, you've seen this. A couple, madly in love. He adores her. She worships him. They're so happy together. They just sit and stare at one another. And you say, my, how they are in love. And a year later, you hear they're splitting up. They're fighting. They're unhappy. And they don't want to live together any longer. And they're going back to a time before they even got together. You ever seen that scenario? Let me give you another scenario. A young person after youth camp. I love that feeling. I love that Sunday after youth camps. A young person just so full of the Spirit. So full of enthusiasm. So full of passion. I mean, their hands are in the air. They're worshiping. They're excited about serving God. And just a few months later, the same young people, dead, no spiritual life, no worship, no singing of the songs, back to no worship, back to no enthusiasm and passion for God. I've seen a new convert come to Christ, so alive. I mean, they've just come alive in Jesus, and they're bubbling over with joy of being forgiven and set free. They just can't get enough word. They can't get enough church. They can't get enough worship. They're so excited. They're free from drink. They're free from drugs. They're free from the old life. And just week after week, and then all of a sudden, they've disappeared. They're gone. They've dropped out. And then you hear they've gone back to the old life. You see, that's a reality that we deal with in believing. I know there's different theological persuasions, but let me tell you something. However fervently some people claim not to believe in backsliding, however fervently some people believe that you can't backslide, the truth of the matter is people still do it. It doesn't change a thing to believe they can't because they do it. People backslide from where they were in God. In fact, I'm not expositing it this evening, but the whole epistle to the Hebrews was written because folks were contemplating turning back from where they had come to in Christ, turning back from serving Jesus. And so realizing that is a reality, and it happens so often, and if you've been around serving God very long, you've seen it happen many times. Because of that tonight, let me talk to you about some acts to watch out for, some acts that will take you back. And the first act I want to talk about is lack. Lack will take you back. Lack will take you back. This is only an illustration. You get over a certain age and you've got something going wrong somewhere. It's like an old car. It'll ping or smoke or it'll do something. You get up to a certain age and things just happen. And you know, for some time now, all of a sudden I'll get the most horrible cramps. Charlie horses, we used to call them, just a horrible cramps. I'll let out a yell. My wife will say, "What's wrong?" I say, "Oh, I got another one of those cramps." Or, you know, get a little dizzy. And you know, it doesn't matter whether it's a cramp or getting dizzy. Every time she'll look at me and say, "You're lacking something." Thank you, Dr. Hurst. You're lacking something. But I want you to know, the truth is, before people go back, they begin to lack something in their Christian experience. They start acting differently, just like I do when I get a little dizzy or get a cramp. You know, I'll jump out of bed in the middle of the night trying to straighten that thing up. People start acting differently because they lack something. I'm telling you, let me tell you some things you can begin to lack. The joy of the Lord. You can begin to lack the peace of God because your sins are forgiven. You can begin to lack passion in worship or love for one another. You can begin to lack a desire for church and a desire for the Word of God. And just to keep on going with the lack will mess you up. You'll find yourself turning back because you lack these things. Let me just put it simply this way. There's no way to keep on serving God if you lack these very important things in your life. That's when you begin to realize that you lack these things. You've got to get alone with God and say, "Wait a minute, God." You see, that's another thing my wife says. She starts saying, "You need to take something. You lack something. You need to take vitamins. You need to take that 50-plus vitamin, you know. You need that thing. You need to get back in your body whatever it is that you're missing." And you know, I don't follow that advice, but I wish you'd follow mine tonight. If you lack some spiritual things, if you lack some spiritual things, I want to tell you what the solution is. Get them back. You need something to get it back in you. Amen. And instead of giving up serving God because you realize you lack joy and this and that, why don't you just be like the psalmist and say, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." I really want to encourage you tonight about this first act. Don't go back if you lack. Amen. Get along with God and get back what you lack. Let me talk to you about another act tonight. Slack. Slack will take you back. Here's a student made good grades. Their grades are going down. Here's someone that's really been in an exercise program. They've been losing weight. They're getting fit and trim. And all of a sudden you see them head the other direction. Here's a yard you drive by. It's been so well groomed. All the hedges are trimmed. The lawn is mown. And then you drive by several weeks later and several weeks later, and things are overgrown and weeds here and hedges overgrown and the lawn's knee high. In each of those cases, there's one thing that's happened. Somebody started slacking up. They didn't stick with it. They didn't keep with it. Amen. You see, to keep your grades up, you can't slack. Keep the lawn well-groomed. You can't slack. Amen. If you're in an exercise program, a weight loss, amen, to keep it going the right direction, you can't slack. And I'm not preaching on that. I'm too wise for that. That's just an illustration. But let me tell you, slack will take you back. When you begin to let up, I'm talking about spiritually, let up, let things go, let down. I've seen folks begin to slack, haven't you? They quit coming to the altar. Quit having personal times of Bible reading. Quit having personal times of prayer. Quit fellowshipping with God's people. Quit worshiping. Quit coming to church. Slack will take you back. Amen. Another word for slack would be neglect. And I could turn to Hebrews here and the second chapter. And the admonition is, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I want to tell you, you cannot neglect. I'm going to skip a whole lot of theological steps, but let me tell you, you cannot neglect your salvation and keep it. How many believes what I'm telling you? You can't do it. You can't slack up. One of my favorite illustrations I've loved through the years to tell about this point of slacking comes from Africa, Brother Heath. And I remember reading years ago about a village there in the tropic part of Africa. Gospel came to it. People really got changed by Jesus Christ. And they were so full of him, they wanted to seek him every day. And so every day, folks began to leave their huts. And they began to walk to different places in the jungle. And if you know anything about the jungle, overgrowth everywhere, it grows almost overnight. But every day, every person that was saved in that village had their own specific place in the jungle alone that they would go to. And they would travel that every day, so they literally wore a trail in the jungle. I mean, you could see a little brown trail going through the green here, and a little brown trail going through the green there, a little brown trail over here going through the green. Everybody had their own trail. Well, if somebody quit seeking the Lord in a tropic, it wasn't long till the brown quit showing and the grass started growing. And you know what? They had a special way in that village when they noticed somebody hadn't been visiting their prayer spot because it was starting to grow up. They had a special way of going with brotherly concern, and they would say this, "Brother, the grass grows on your trail. The grass grows on your trail. You're slacking." I want to ask you a real personal question. As far as your relationship with God, personal praying, seeking, reading his word, loving him, is the grass growing on your trail? Slack will take you back. I'll lose track of the numbers, but the next thing, attack will take you back. There's something we learn. We are in a spiritual battle. You know, we like to refer to the children of Israel because God miraculously delivered them from Egyptian bondage by the blood. I wish I had time to preach. That's a great story, isn't it? But what happened as soon as they got set free from Egypt? Pharaoh gathered his armies, pursued them to attack them and take them back to bondage. Nothing has changed. You let somebody set their heart on serving Christ, and Satan will pursue and attack to try to take back to bondage. He will do it every time. One of the well-quoted verses, but sometimes we need to revisit it just to think about it. Paul warned us, he said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, I want to tell you, I'm a real strong advocate of not blaming Satan for my abdication of my own personal responsibility. Okay? I mean, there's things I'm responsible for. There's problems I have, I'm responsible. But I want you to know, with that aside, Satan does attack those that would attempt to live for God. You can pray in this altar and find the Lord as Savior, and Satan's going to attack you with everything he has to take you back in bondage. You can have a work of God in your life tonight, and before you get off this parking lot, you can come in your mind under the attack of Satan. We do have an enemy. And what disturbs me more than knowing that we have an enemy is how so many people don't seem to realize what they're allowing Satan to do in their life. Just let him do it. I'm telling you, he may attack us, but we don't have to just take it. We can stand against him. We can raise the shield of faith. We can engage the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We can breastplate ourselves with truth. But an attack will take you back if you let him take you, if you don't fight, if you're not strong in the Lord. And I'm telling you, Satan, he'll attack your mind. He'll attack your thoughts. He will attack your family. He will attack you through temptation. He will attack you during your trials and difficulties. He will attack you with doubt and fear and anxiety and unbelief. He will attack you at every time, at night, day, work, school. Amen. He is attacking God's people. Amen. You know, a lot of problems we have, they come from living in the real world. And again, I don't blame Satan for things that necessarily he didn't cause. Amen. If I get to come down with the flu tonight, I'm not going to say Satan gave me the flu. That's part of the fallen world. And I'll get to that in a later moment. But I'm going to tell you, he may not have caused the flu, but he'll sure use the flu to attack you. He may not have caused a flat tire, but he'll use the flat tire to attack you. Amen. How many knows I'm telling you the truth? You've been under the attack of Satan. But I'm telling you, he's attacking us for one reason, to get us discouraged, to get us to try to get out of the heat of the battle. You know, he will fool us to thinking just to surrender and get that momentary respite from doing battle, amen, that that's the way to go. And there is, when you surrender to Satan, there's a momentary respite. But I'm telling you, that's not the answer. He's just going to take us back. When you come under the attack of Satan, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Believe in him. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. I'm telling you, we don't have to succumb to the attack of Satan. We can stand in the authority and the power and the presence and the Word of God and overcome him. An attack will take you back. Let me talk about another act that will take you back. A whack will take you back. You ever been whacked? You missed that. Here's this football player. He comes running out of the locker room, eager to play. He's playing well. And then wham! He gets whacked. And he's carried off the field back to the locker room he just ran out of all enthusiastically. I want you to know there are some hard whacks in life. How many just be real honest? This is a good time. How many say, I've suffered some real whacks in life? I mean, you think you're doing good. Just, you know, those surprise whacks are the worst kind. Amen. I remember one time helping my dad. I'll put this on here for him. We're building our church, and we go to old buildings, tear them down, throw bricks in the dump truck. And I was working throwing bricks in there, and he was over to my side, and he threw one and missed and hit me upside the head, knocked me clear down the ground. My dad did that. Those unexpected whacks. There's some tremendous, hard, real blows that come our way. Betrayal. You ever been betrayed by a friend, someone that was supposed to love you? That'll whack you good. Betrayal, sickness. You ever had a financial whack? Thought you was doing good? You open an envelope and whack. Financial reverses, disappointments. That's what I was showing you a little bit there. I've had a lot of whacks in our basement. Most of it's pretty high, but there's several duct works and pipes that are about 6 foot. Sanders never hit her head once. But I'm always in high gear, and I'll be barreling through there, and whack. The main sewer line, I can't tell you how many times I've hit it. One or two times, it's knocked me clear down to the floor. I'm threatening to cut that sewer line right out of there. I just hit one the other day. Just bled, just whack, whack, whack. It's no fun. And I'm going to tell you, it's not necessarily Satan, but life can really whack you. And some folks go back just because they've been whacked. They just give up. I want to tell you, anybody that's made to heaven's been whacked. Amen. When you've been whacked, it's not time to go back. It's a time to go forward. I think that's why one of my favorite verses is Malachi 7:8. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. I may have been whacked down, but I'm going to get up and I'm going forward. I refuse to go back. Amen. They've carted that guy off to the locker room. They've checked him out. And moments later, he comes running back on the field and the crowd arises to applaud and cheer him. Amen, because he didn't let the whack keep him down. Here he is, back again. And I'm telling you, when you've been whacked, it's time. Amen, let God help you, check you out, whatever you need. Amen, get counseling, get prayer, whatever you need. But it's time to run back on the field and say, I'm in this to win it. Amen. Let me tell you another act that will take you back. That's flack. I'll tell you how flack's different than a whack. I promise you I didn't get this from Dr. Seuss. I promise you that. This is airplane original. Here's how flack's different than whack. Whack's a direct hit. Flack isn't a direct hit. Flack's not when you get directly hit by the bomb. It's when the bomb explodes somewhere else and you get the repercussion. You get the shrapnel. That's what flak is. The bomb didn't hit you. It just hit close by, and you feel the effects of it. I'm talking about collateral damage. I'm talking about fallout. It didn't really happen to you, but it affects you. I want to tell you something. We're talking about going back, so let me use that illustration. When somebody goes back from serving God, it didn't just affect them. They seem to never think about this. But it affects everybody around them. Everybody around them gets the flack from that. Someone you love gets hurt. You weren't the one that got hurt, but you get the flack from that. Amen. Your work closes down. You didn't have a thing to do with that. It was a decision made in corporate somewhere. But you got the repercussions of that. Your children make choices you wish they wouldn't make. You have the flack from that. Your parents make choices. Your spouse, your church has problems. You weren't a part of that problem, but you suffer the flack from it. Amen. The economy, your country has problems. The economy upends. Amen. You didn't cause that. You didn't have any money in the stock market to lose. But you'll suffer the repercussions of it. You'll suffer the flack from it. Your friend dies. I'm telling you, flack can really affect you. It's not a direct whack, but flack can really discourage you. And people, having done nothing wrong, they suffer because of the choices of others. Your children don't serve the Lord, and their choices are eating you alive, and you're having to live with the repercussions of the bad things that are happening around you. Amen. Flack can take you back if you let it. But I'm telling you, it's just like there's bad repercussions. I didn't hang on the cross, but I can sure be a recipient of the blessings and the help that comes from that as well. Amen. I know you may think of others, but let me give you one more act that will take you back, and that's the pack. I'm not talking about peer pressure here, but something a little different. The pack will take you back. Some folks are under a heavy load. Some folks carry a heavy load. Some things, there's nothing we can do about. That burden's been placed on us, and we're going to have to carry it. But some folks have some things in their pack that if they'd let God help them, they could get rid of them. I want to tell you, some folks turn back because they carry around a whole bunch of bitterness in their pack. That'll drag you back. You're trying to go up God's hill, and that'll drag you back, that guilt. Bitterness, guilt, condemnation, envy, hatred, grief, pain, Many of these things are not wrong. They're part of the human condition. But our pack can get so full, so heavy of these things. That's why we used to sing, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Because these packs pull us down. They drag us back. Several years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, I read a book, and I have forgotten his name. If I could remember his name, you might remember him, but he owned some restaurants in the Columbus area, and he had a terrible loss of his spouse. Reminds me much of just the funeral that we just went to, the conditions and the likeness of the sickness, and his heart was so heavy. He sold his businesses, and he was not a believer. He sold his businesses and just on a whim decided he would hike the Appalachian Trail from start to finish. And that's a 2-3-4 month thing, 2,000 miles plus, whatever it is. And he decided he would do that. And long story short, thank God he found the Lord on the Appalachian Trail, came to know Christ. God met him there. But he began to talk about, even though he had read and prepared and whatever, and, you know, they all have to carry a backpack of necessities and tents and food and rain ponchos or whatever they have and dry socks. And he said, you got to pack that carefully. He said, because you never would believe it when you're packing that. But he said, if you've been on that trail for several hours, you'd be surprised at how heavy just a few ounces could be. And over, folks would turn back. They just couldn't take the weight in their pack. There's one place there on the Appalachian Trail. The trail literally goes to an outfitter's store. Very convenient. But they have a place there where you can get things out of your pack and buy lighter things. But they also have a place there where you can take things that have been too heavy and you can parcel them up. They'll help you parcel them up and you can mail them home so you won't have to carry them the rest of the way. I want to tell you, we don't have to be one of those that turn back on the trail. Let me tell you why. Because there is a place where those things that are too heavy, we can pack them up and send them off so we can go ahead and make it to the end. We don't have to turn back. Aren't you glad there's a burden bearer? Can you say amen? Oh, that's why Peter's admonition was casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Aren't you glad for an altar where you can just unload your pack? Hallelujah. I'm not talking about reneging on your responsibilities. I'm talking about on those things that weighed us down. Glory to God. I'm telling you, church, it's not a time to turn back. It's a time to press forward. I think one of the saddest scriptures, one that's ignored, amen, so often, and would you come, music, is in 2 Peter chapter 2. He says, but it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. They went back. I'm telling you, you don't have to go back. In spite of all these acts that we talked about, you don't have to go back. In fact, our attitude ought to be like that old song, I've come too far to go back. Amen. Amen. You might have got saved this morning, but you've already come too far to go back. Can you say amen? Amen. Someone told me this morning, and I've heard it many times, someone recently returning to the Lord, amen, under the attack of Satan, fighting many of these acts that we're talking about tonight. But they shared with me this morning, there's nothing to go back to. You see, that's a point to remember. There's nothing to go back to, but there's everything to keep pressing forward for. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. How many's determined to make it to the end? Amen. Would you stand? If you have a determination never to turn back, but to press forward, would you stand and lift your hands and say, God, I'm not turning back. I'm going forward. I'm pressing forward. Whatever the attack, whatever the lack, whatever the slack, I'm going to press forward. I'm going to unpack, unload some things tonight. But oh God, I refuse. I refuse to be turned around. I refuse to be stopped. I'm going forward in my Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's let the Holy Spirit move us across this building. Speak to us from the word that was shared. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I just wish I could get some folks that are in that point of indecision. Amen. About to go back. If I could just get a hold of them and say, don't do it. You don't have to go back. And God is saying, if any soul draw back or any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. But I'll tell you where the pleasure of God is. It's those that press forward in spite of what they're going through. Press forward in spite of the difficulty. Amen. We are not of them that draw back, but we are those that believe and keep on believing. Oh, hallelujah, to the saving of the soul. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. It's not time to let go. It's time to get a firmer grip. It's not time to be knocked backwards. It's time to press forward. Hallelujah. It's not a time to let go. It's a time to hold fast. It's not time to throw it away. It's time to cast not away. Therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. That's the preceding verses of those that just shall live by faith. If any man turn back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. It's not a time to turn back. It's a time to press forward. How many feels that way across the building? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's praise him a while. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Satan works the same ways throughout centuries. He doesn't change his tactics because they keep working. Oh, hallelujah, but they don't have to work. You can refuse to let them work. Man, let the Spirit show you what's going on and say, I'm going to change that with the help of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know any other way to put it. I'm not going to say what you've been under, but here's the altar call tonight. You've been under the pressure. You've been under the pressure to fall back, slip back, go back. You've been under that pressure. But tonight, by the Holy Spirit, you say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go forward. If that's you, if you'd be real honest, just be real honest in this altar service. Amen. Across the building, young to old, you'd say, I've been under some kind of pressure. We're not going to name it. We're not going to specify. But you say, I've been under some kind of pressure to slip back, go back. But tonight, by the Holy Spirit, I refuse that. I'm going to go forward. Would you come and begin to fill the altars? Would you do that? Would you come and say, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going forward. I'm not going back. I'm going forward. I'm not going to let one of these get me. Amen. This is a wonderful time. Amen. For honesty. I don't want slack in my life. If you got a lack, maybe the joy's gone. Amen. Amen. Listen to my wife's advice. You need to take something. You need something. Amen. Come and say, oh God, I need that lack made up in my life. I don't want to go back. I want to press forward. Amen. All across the building, you've been under some kind of pressure, but you say, I refuse to let that happen. Let's fill these altars tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I first found hallelujah. Something or me stole. Like lightning it went through me and glory filled my soul. Salvation made me happy and took my fears away. Bless your name, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Let the Spirit speak to you. And hold out till the end. Jesus is with me. On him I can depend. And I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out till the end. I am determined to hold out till the end. I refuse to go back.